America Decides on LBC.
18 minutes past four. If you're waking up to LBC's election night coverage, you're waking up to the fact that Donald Trump looks as if he's about to achieve his fantasy dream. He is within a nose hair of the White House. It only takes one more of the big states to fall, and it looks as if Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. Simon Marks in Washington, I could never have predicted I would say those words to you.
You and me both, Ian. Absolutely stunning. A political earthquake for the ages here in Washington, D.C. The New York Times now says that Donald Trump has a greater than 95% probability of being America's next president. He has won North Carolina. He has won Florida. He has won Ohio. We're waiting for the outcome of the remaining battleground states, including Michigan, which increasingly looks like it's going to play a central role in determining the outcome of this presidential election, a classic Rust Belt state where Donald Trump's message of assisting those workers who feel that their opportunities have been lost, their jobs have been exported overseas, has attracted substantial amounts of support. But make no mistake, this is an absolute political earthquake here in the United States. The mood up at the Hillary Clinton victory celebration at the Javits Center has gone completely flat. Democrats are bracing themselves for what now seems to be the inevitable. The fact that Hillary Clinton has not been able to seal the deal with American voters. And I'm looking now down at the White House, which is bathed in floodlights. One can only imagine the mood inside that building where Barack Obama, Michelle Obama and the First Family are watching these election returns come in. And remember that they had worked overtime over the last few days and weeks in a bid to try and pull Hillary Clinton across the line. They were center stage with her just 26 hours ago in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia. 40,000 people turning out on the streets of Philadelphia. Barack Obama, Michelle Obama urging people not to stay home, urging them to get out and vote for Hillary Clinton, insisting that President Obama would view it as a personal insult if people did not give Hillary Clinton the opportunity to take over from him here next January. President Obama seemed quite relaxed about it last night. He was joking about the fact that Donald Trump's campaign had taken his Twitter account away from him. He said if his own campaign managers can't trust him to tweet, how can the American public trust him to have his fingers on the nuclear trigger? And yet, his fingers are now very, very close to that nuclear trigger, and he may well get his hands on that nuclear football starting next January when the political transition takes place. There are all sorts of developments to talk about and focus about. My colleague Harry Horton has just returned from the White House itself, where we're hearing, certainly up here, large crowds of people gathering. What's the scene down there, Harry?
Well, there's people wandering around in disbelief, really. Washington, D.C. is very democratic state, city rather. I think most people here are really shocked at the prospect of a Donald Trump presidency, which we seem to be heading towards now. There was a vigil of people singing the national anthem in front of a sign saying, "We are better than bigotry." But really, if you walk in front of the White House, there's just people wandering around in disbelief at the seemingly looming victory for Donald Trump tonight.
Harry Horton, just back from the White House with me. Still, Mike Mesetic, independent political analyst here in Washington, D.C., former foreign editor with the PBS NewsHour. Mike Mesetic, it looks like he's done it.
Indeed. This is the shock of all time, probably perhaps the greatest shock in the 230-year history of the American Republic, with people now on various commentators already on Twitter wondering what the future of the Republic is. Because let's face it, Trump has shown and expressed authoritarian instincts. It's really questionable whether he's even read the Constitution. And so we're on a merry-go-round, and we have no idea where this is going to take us.
And yet he has clearly offered a message that resonates with people, particularly in the Rust Belt states, but also, it seems, down in Florida. The Clinton campaign was supremely confident 24, 36 hours ago that Florida was hers. Where did it all go right for him? Where did it all seem to go wrong for her?
Well, everything went wrong for her. She had the organization. She had the money. She supposedly had this new Democratic coalition, which had been around since the Obama's first election. That all seemed to disappear into what you've seen in Britain and the Brexit vote, what you may see in the rest of Europe and the French and German elections coming up. Just a rage, a nativist rage. In this country, it's white. In Europe, it's more native, French, German, English, whatever you are, against change, against the new, against the other.
But let's be clear. He has torn up now, assuming he wins, and it looks extremely likely that very soon he will have won. He has torn up every single rule in the political, every single page in the political rule book. From the day that he entered this presidential race, and I famously, at least infamously in my life, told Ian Dale that Donald Trump was a circus performer, he was a clown, he wasn't going to go anywhere. He tore up every single page in the political rule book through the primary process, through the campaign, through the presidential debates, and now tonight tearing them up because he didn't have the organization on the ground. He didn't have the money. He wasn't spending the cash on television advertising, which everybody here believes is sort of the sine qua non of American presidential politics. It's an absolutely astonishing achievement.
Well, nothing is established. I mean, if you want to use a bad example, go back to Weimar Germany, and you get certain elements of the working class feeling that they're out of sorts, badly out of sorts, then they will just turn the table over and make a total upheaval, and the old rules just don't apply.
This was always going to be a change election. Mike Mosetic, thanks very much indeed for that. This was always going to be a change election, and Donald Trump was the change candidate, I suppose, and Hillary Clinton made some tortuous attempts over the course of the last several months to kind of reintroduce herself to the American public. In many ways, people who had known Hillary Clinton here for 25 years were being asked to forget everything they had ever known about her and overlook her political biography and their animus to her. It seems, Ian, increasingly likely that they have not done that, and that the world now needs to brace itself for Donald Trump in the White House.
Simon, we may be getting to concession territory in the next hour or so. What's the protocol for that?
The protocol for a concession speech? Just ask me that question again, Ian.
Well, it's traditional that one of the losing candidate will ring the winning candidate and say that they concede. Now, this all went terribly wrong in 2000, of course. But what's the protocol there?
Well, the protocol will be that at some point the campaign manager for, say, Hillary Clinton will go to Hillary Clinton and say, it's time. You clearly, you know, you haven't won. The networks have all called it for Donald Trump. They have not done that yet. We should underscore that. And presumably Hillary Clinton will be encouraged to pick up the telephone, call Donald Trump and congratulate him.
Okay.
But imagine being a fly on the wall for that telephone call.
Simon Marks, thank you very much.